Nil-qawkom għal kreativita bla konfini li huwa program fuq Campus FM organizzat mid-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti fl-Università ta' Malta. Dan il-program ħaj jiddiskuti arti, riċerka fil-Dipartiment, kif ukoll avvenimenti kulturali li ser isseħħu fix-xhur li ġejjin. Jiena Audrey Rose Mizzi u ser kun qed nippreżenta dan il-programm flimkien ma' artisti, mużiċisti u studenti li qed jagħmlu riċerka fid-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti. Illum ser niddiskutu l-APS imdina Cathedral Contemporary Art Biennale li hija eżibizzjoni internazzjonali tal-arti kontemporanja taħt direzzjoni artistika ta' Dr. Giuseppe Schembri Bonaci li huwa Senior Lecturer fid-Dipartiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti.
Rajtuħ San Paul. Subaħ il-fuq San Paul.
Hello.
Għadak San Domingo.
And welcome back in the studio with us. Myself, Nikki, and Dr. Giuseppe Schembri Bonaci, and our wonderful pianist, Emel Hasanoglu.
And artist, really.
Yes.
And person.
Yes, a wonderful person in general.
Oh, really. Stop it.
But too complicated.
Yes. Well, at least she has brought absolutely wonderful music into our lives. Which is great.
Thank you. I'm blushing.
And other things into my life.
You are a little bit. this has to do with heart. You have a small heart. Usually when I blush, I'm as red as a stable in front of us.
But you're not blushing.
No, because you're not complimenting me.
No.
If you compliment
me. I'll do it now.
No. Now we'll focus a bit on less complimentary matters.
Mm-hmm.
So, today we have a number of things to discuss, and mainly they're activities which myself and Dr. Schembri Bonaci have been working on for about 3 years now. Yes, it's been 3 years.
Four years. Of course, if not more, because we start. I don't remember exactly, but I started to organize the Milano Biennale 2 years before the Biennale. So,
yes.
So, yes, we're on the fourth or fifth year, really, yes. Of working, of
yes.
course. Of preparing.
Yes. In fact, I remember you had started late 2013 because I had...
Exact October, really.
Exactly. Because I was still traveling then and I had come back to Malta in December. And I remember specifically coming back to Malta on the 6th of December. And I said, you know, for the first time in my life, I have no plan. I came to university the day, next day or the day after that. I bump into Dr. Schembri Bonaci.
And your life changed.
My schedule went from completely free.
Not schedule, your life changed.
Everything.
Dramatically.
Everything went topsy-turvy as it usually does when one encounters someone like yourself.
No, there is no someone like
okay.
myself.
Okay. You, then.
Exactly. You have to be crystal clear.
You won't believe it, Emel. Within a 5-minute discussion, I was ready to apply for a PhD, which is, as you know, a 4 or 5 year program, work on the Imdina Biennale, work on editing certain academic publications, which...
Many.
Yeah. But at the time, at least, there were a couple. Now it's
exactly.
more. Academic publications by
research, traveling,
everything,
and whipping.
Yes, and the conference, the Warburg conference, that was coming up 3 months later. So I was already gearing up, preparing all your images, driving around all of Malta to get images done.
So why did it take 5 minutes?
It's assisting.
5 minutes took. Literally, well, in 5 minutes.
Knowing Dr. Schembri Bonaci, why did it take 5 minutes?
5 minutes sounds very long. And with a lot of enthusiasm, which is what I needed.
You still have, thank God.
Yes. No, but I came back from London a bit disillusioned, really, because I saw the situation there, that my friends, my top friends, you know, excellent students, coming from major universities, were working in pubs or working in jobs which don't require any sort of further education.
Well, if I'm allowed to link it with our previous conversation, I'm not sure.
Yes,
that's
of course.
That's why
of course.
I mentioned big cities as London and Paris, because there's nothing there. But literally nothing. They are living from their old glory. They are not inventing.
Well, to be honest, while I was there, that's one of the things which I came to think about. I always used to say, you know, I really want to study abroad because I really want to focus on particular major artists and the works of particular major thinkers, let's say. And while I was there, I was, to go back to our last program again, I was realizing that a lot of this was over-engineered, to use that same word. Because you had arguments, constant arguments, counter-arguments to the same question. And then I was like, back home in Malta, there's so much to work with. It's like finding an archaeological site, which you still have to dig up and study. So you're starting from well, not from the beginning, but there's a lot to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why I did want to come back, because there's space to think. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this very much links to how you perceive as an artistic space, because it allows me to work with new ideas and with ideas that have already reified themselves within academia. But then, of course, to test particular things with my own research and then with my, let's call it, more practical side of things, curatorial things. Yes, and I think that's why the Imdina Biennale is one of the more exciting projects, because it is a link between centuries of past traditions and knowledge and the present-day global context, not just the local context. So for this year's 2017-18 mm-hmm. APS Imdina Biennale, we are working on the theme of the Mediterranean as a space of conflict.
Spiritual conflict.
Yeah.
I underline because it is important. We're tackling not just conflicts, it's conflicting spiritualities.
Conflicting worldviews, really.
Spiritualities.
Yes.
It's important because the participants have to be clear.
Yes.
Of course, then, if the artist would like to interpret this as a worldview, why not? But the guideline has to be crystal clear. That's why, if you remember, we even discussed the question mark or not.
Yes.
Whether we should put it as a question, the Mediterranean as a sea of conflicting spiritualities, or the Mediterranean as a sea of conflicting spiritualities. And both of us, I think we did agree that we don't need a question mark to provoke. Because if you are putting it as a question, it's not a provocation, you're asking.
Yes.
Is it a conflicting spirituality or not? Oh, no, it's not. Oh, yes, it is. Something which I didn't really like, although it makes sense also. But if you say the Mediterranean is a sea of conflicting spiritualities, then you... It provokes, I think, at
yes,
least. That's
I think a statement
provokes.
A statement has a stronger intonation.
And I'd like, why did I underline the word spirituality as always? But anyway, it's because, first of all, I do believe that art has to be spiritual, otherwise it's not art. And then, to link it with history of the Biennale, since 1992,
yes.
Which always had this religious thing. So we're trying to change the qualification religious with a term which is, I think, stronger, spirituality.
Yes,
that's why it's important.
Yes, yeah. And I think there's a lot of implications in doing that, because by, let's say, substituting religious or Christian with spiritual, then you're opening up that definition.
Yeah, we're challenging the artist, that's why.
Exactly,
yeah.
But you're also challenging the institution.
Uh-huh.
And, I mm-hmm. mean, this is happening within Imdina's Cathedral Museum.
That's why I'm a bit, really, I have a beautiful feeling, which, coming from me, it's a bit strange, in the sense that what you just said now, challenging institutions, is quite correct, and that's why I'm very happy with how the Maltese Church is reacting positively
yes.
to all our endeavors,
yes.
which is a bit bizarre, I think.
It is bizarre, but it's exciting.
Yeah, it is exciting. And they are giving us quite an open possibility to work, which I don't find within governmental institutions.
But it's true. It's so, like you said, bizarre that these, what we assume to be these much more dogmatic spaces are actually allowing somehow
a very open
and a more experimental approach, and
very much.
And this is very strange, because you would imagine that a state institution would be more liberal.
Do we have, by the way, Emily is here, do we have some Eastern Balkan participant for the time being? I don't think we have.
We do have artists from Lithuania.
Uh-huh.
Yes, and Georgia.
Yeah, and
well, if you don't have Balkan artists, you don't have conflict.
Well,
that's a good one.
Well, you come in with that, no? Amen.
I do my best.
But just to remind the listeners, I mean, the previous edition, we had 129 participants coming from all over the world.
Yes,
China, Hong Kong,
Australia,
the United States, Russia,
all Europe,
Maghreb. Now we have limited it to
30 artists.
We're trying to achieve a 25, really, but at least plus minus, not more than 30, that's strong. And for the time being, we have French, Maltese, British,
German,
Lithuanian and Georgian,
Russian,
and yeah, fantastic,
and American.
Uh-huh.
We have a photographer from New York coming as well.
That's beautiful.
Oh, that's good.
So somehow, even with a much more limited number, we've still managed to.
Yeah, and we're going to limit our activity, ML, within the museum only this time. We're not occupying the whole Imdin.
That's why I'm silent.
Yeah, but the museum in itself is, it's true, it's not a large museum, but the three floors which are available to us each present a different problem, in the sense the basement level is the space without any other objects. So there's no problem in hanging works or...
But there are problems due to its beautiful
its
dominant structure.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Yes.
So, of course, that's another aspect of a different problem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then there's also element of temperature, you know, that we cannot put particular works on there because of the humidity, but then we can put others.
Mm-hmm.
On the first...
Since you are in the basement, can I mention our idea of having antipremiera?
Yes, you can, without mentioning the artist, but
of course.
So go ahead.
Well, on the 11th of the 11th, so it's 11th November.
Yes,
we did plan to have antipremiera with something which is a bit more closer to performance, but it's visual performance and audio at the same time. We will be having 11 paintings, I hope, and 11 pieces from George Ligeti, composer from Balkan.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm. You see, you managed to bring in the Balkans. It's not missing, so.
In fact, we'll be having, let's call them, this would sound pretentious, really, two anteprimas.
Uh-huh.
One is the Galli exhibition.
Yes, the Giuseppe Galli exhibition.
Because we're trying to reintroduce this Maltese artist who studied with Ciortino, under Ciortino, in Rome in the 30s. And he's a phenomenally strong designer. His drawings are so beautiful. But when he came to Malta, he became famous for his architectural and church works. And his studies, unfortunately, went into slight oblivion. So we're going to reintroduce Galia with his Roman works, which are beautiful. And then, within the Mdina proper Biennale, you are right, we'll be introducing this sort of introduction towards the Biennale.
Yes, we will be having two eccentrics. First of all, George Ligeti was very eccentric, and his 11 pieces will
three.
Give me space. His 11 pieces are extremely spiritual.
Yeah.
Because, I don't want to suffocate you with musical technicalities, but the way how he was building it up, with starting only with one tone and then adding another. In the next piece, there are going to be only three tones, so next one only with four tones. So 11 piece is going to have all the tones. So he was building his everything, spirituality, technicality, sound. And I find it very matching with the other artist, which is a visual artist, and he's extremely eccentric. One of the most eccentrics I have ever met, luckily. And I find it extremely conflicting.
Yeah.
Because
so
when you have extreme... Yes. When you have all kinds of extremes...
Is there a third eccentric?
No. I'm sure I mentioned...
How do you fit in within this dynamic?
Well, I'm a balancing factor.
Okay. A mediator is always needed, no?
Exactly.
What really interested me also here in what you're saying, I'm not sure, maybe you can help me in this, really. As soon as you were explaining the development of the tonalities, etc., now, this might sound strange also, but it's fascinating. can you deal with this, let's call it mathematical progression?
Completely mathematical.
Exactly, but what you said is a reflection. I don't know if Ligati knew about Bonacci,
medieval.
Not mid 10th century, really, 10th, 11th century. In fact, it's called Figlio di Bonacci.
Fibonacci.
Fibonacci.
Ah, Fibonacci. Ah, that's Figlio. 1, 2, 3, 4,
yeah.
Yeah,
the
three,
sequence,
five, eight.
The
exactly.
Sequence.
So maybe Ligati was utilizing a similar approach in his compositions.
Well, for sure he did have...
And I am really interested in this mathematical thing.
I cannot vote for what was in his head.
No, what you've just said.
With the pieces, it's not Fibonacci's order. But
there are lots of, not only ones.
Yes.
There are lots of progressions, another one.
The way, of course, I'm talking about general, how 11 pieces are connected one with each other.
I'm interested in this.
But in, as you said, in them, is it correct?
In them, in these, in those.
Well, in the pieces itself.
In these pieces, yeah.
In these pieces itself, their progression, each one has a different kind. So he always did use symmetrical, building shape.
Structures,
and he always used mathematically organized progression. For example, if you're talking about bars, first bar and second bar will lead to a third one, and then third one is going to be very similar as the sixth one, but you need to find it. It's a code. It's not Fibonacci 1, 2, 3, 5, 8, I don't know how it's going to
be. No, but there are others,
even the circular one,
which come into quasi-mystical, quasi-Kabbalah sort of.
It's musical Kabbalah, if you ask me. And especially the last piece has 11 tones. It's 11 piece. It has all the tones of scale, which is 12 tones. And he did put a fugue. So it's one theme, which contains all 12 tones of a scale. And then he did build six voices. So can you imagine having six voices, with each one has 12 notes? Usually fugue is not so, the theme of the fugue is not so big, not so progressive. It's something which is less brain.
less complex.
Yes. Something which you can remember very easily. But this theme has 12 tones. It's repeated six times, and it takes all the space of a keyboard. So we do have the lowest tone, the highest tone, and progression, which I discover every day.
That's beautiful.
It is. It really is.
So I think this would be the only... Well, it is an anteprime, of course, because as Nicky was saying, this APS Medina Biennale edition has no performances or theatrical or musical. This is the only...
It's the only one.
Let's call it the only, for the time being, at least. What else do we have in the Medina Biennale?
Well, we have our annual conference.
Oh, which is very important.
Being organized pretty much to coincide with the Medina Biennale, and that will lead to also the visual aspect of it as well.
Let's talk a bit about this conference.
Well, our conference is the third conference in a series of annual international academic conferences, which focus on Maltese artists and their place within the international sphere. Now, that's not only how they fit within...
What's the team?
One second.
you're like Fibonacci. What's
going in circles.
Going in circles.
No, I'm giving a background to the purpose behind the conferences.
Yeah.
Well, the point is to get some exciting academic discourse
developed
on Maltese art. That is the long and short of it. Now, for this year's conference, we will be looking at the global influence of Cubism.
Not exactly, I'm sorry. That has been done hundreds and millions of times before us. We're going to look Cubism at the Mediterranean with particular importance to the Maltese test case.
Yes, the Maltese.
That would make it unique.
Well, yes, of course, that's what makes it unique within our context.
As we did with Joseph Calais and Rodin, and as we did with Gabriel Caruana and Fontana.
Yes.
We're challenging a new attitude in Maltese scholarship as to how one should tackle modern art.
Yes. So, in fact, if you read particular literature on certain artists, you will find that the word cubism will come up here and there, and it tends to come up uncritically, in the sense cubism was a major movement which was recognized and followed by several artists. However, it doesn't mean that what entered into Malta was exactly what Picasso and Braque had originally come up with in 1907.
Exactly, so, and it would have been interesting to see not just how the Maltese artists received or as recipients, but did they challenge, that's at least one of the essays being proposed, did they challenge, did they just inherit, did they just cut and paste the idea of crystallized cubism, which we find in Portelli, is it linked with the crystallized, the concept of crystallization in Strindberg, for example?
Can I add something?
Yes, of course.
It sounds like it's going to be circularized cubism.
Fibonacci cubism. In Malta 2017.
No, I mean, because Apollinaire uses the concept of crystallized cubism. Did Portelli sort of linked with your Apollinaire essay, or did he get it from the dramaturg Strindberg? These are the questions which at least do interest me.
Yes, of course, but it's very interesting to see how these particular concepts, especially ones which had major influence, like cubism, and how they were translated, let's say, or appropriated by artists who did not exist within the same context that gave birth to those particular ideas. So, to go back onto a theory which comes up quite often, is that of the facade theory. Wherein yourself and also Peter Serrettino and Glot had argued about the importation of a style, of the facade, of the appearance of a idiom, artistic idiom, but that appearance being separated, detached from
What I find interesting in this, as you are correctly stating, but this didn't happen only in Malta, and it does not happen only in Malta, of course.
No.
It's what I call the ripple effect. When Cubism, which had only a 3-4 year really
existence
as a movement at least, then you get those ripples. But those ripples didn't just come to Malta. They were
everywhere.
In France also, in Spain.
Yes.
So the fourth ripple was the facade.
Yes.
The fourth ripple will not remember what was happening at the central of the centrifugal and centripetal force when the stone, let's call it, or the rock fell into the waters or sea. The fourth, fifth ripple will not understand what was happening at the epicenter.
Yes, but
and this is what
sometimes
happened.
It's not even a matter of length of distance, let's say, for example.
Oh, no, not distance, of course. I mean, ripple is not a distance.
No, but I don't want to make Malta sound further isolated from the continent. For example, last year when I attended
a
conference, one of the speakers was talking about a particular, particular style which developed in France, and then when it was transported to Czech Republic, he used the exact same words that we do, a detachment, separation, superficial.
Oh, those are the symptoms,
yes.
Not the cause, yeah.
Yeah.
But for example, even in England, Cubism never entered the scene, really.
No, only very late-ish. The time of the Second World War did it come.
But in a very weak form, more so.
Yes.
Even Picasso's Cubism met really, really, really a disastrous reception in England.
Yes, it's like they only accepted Picasso and they realized how much money they could have made, which is quite.
And then even within the Paris scene itself, after Picasso, Braque and the others, then you had the second ripple with Mezinger and Glazes, etc.
Yes.
Then you had the third ripple until it fuses into other movements.
Yes, so exactly like you're saying, it's not even separated by space, and the temporal difference between when Glazes and the rest came in and Picasso's time was, I mean, they pretty much overlap.
Exactly, that's what we're trying to do at the Biennale, really. to create these discussions when we're having contemporary artists now. And in fact, I'd like to underline this, that we're trying to give a new character to the concept of modestly speaking, of course, the collaborative, the cooperative approach our Biennale is not a commercial entity with agencies and contracts and signings and adverts. Absolutely not. And we don't want it that way. No. We're trying to create a sort of cooperative approach where artists who are participating would collectively trying to evolve and push forward this Biennale event together.
Yes.
We're trying our best to minimize the possibility of agencies to enter our modest scene.
Yes. Well, and it allows us to have lengthy discussions with the artists about their work, about what they think about the Biennale team itself. And this is all...
It's a thinking hub,
it
really.
It is a thinking hub, yes. And last editions worked, but it was on a much larger scale. Now, with 30 artists, everything's much more intimate. Anyway, we have lots more to say about the Imdina Biennale, and we'll speak about it in further programs as well. But for today...
And thanks to the APS, really.
Yes, for supporting the project.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Well, anyway, now it's time for a coffee, so we have to go.
Yes, anyway, thanks a lot. Ciao, bye-bye.
Ciao, ciao.
وصلنا فلاحار تال-program Creativita Bla Confini li huwa program fuq Campus FM organizzat mid-Departiment tal-Istorja tal-Arti fl-Università ta' Malta. Nixtiequ ninformaw l-udjenza tagħna li l-APS Imdina Cathedral Contemporary Art Biennale se jiġi mtella fil-Mużew tal-Katedral l-Imdina bejn it-13 ta' Novembru 2017 sa' 7 ta' Jannar 2018. APS Bank huwa l-partner uffiċjali tal-Imdina Biennale. Għal-aktar informazzjoni nħeddukom tidħlu fuq sit elettroniku www.indinabiennale.com. Grazzi tal-li naqgħdu magħna, niltaqgħu l-ġimgħa d-dieħla.